I mentioned earlier about my cousin. He was in his 50s, and he's not here anymore. So, I mean, tomorrow is not promised to any of us. So we thank God. We're going to praise him on earth while we yet have time. I'm going to ask you, if you can stand, to please stand and take your Bibles or your bulletin. I'm going to read John 17:14-19. John chapter 17:14-19. Good to see all of you out here, our visitors, our guests, and others that maybe have been away for a minute. So it's good to see all of you out here this morning. And also, of course, our parishioners that are here almost every Sunday. Good to see all of you out here. John chapter 17, starting verse 14. And this is Jesus praying to his Father and our Father. He said, I have given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And my topic this morning is sanctified by Jesus. Sanctified by Jesus. You may be seated. Sanctified by Jesus. Set apart by our Lord and Savior. Sanctified by Jesus. We are sanctified by Jesus. Again, in this prayer, like I said, it's good to see all of y'all. Another one of our college students here this morning, Sister Bailey, hello. It's good to see all of y'all. Again, this prayer that Jesus prayed on a Thursday night before he went to the cross on that Friday. This prayer, as you all probably can say it with me now, has three segments. The first segment, verses 1-5, Jesus prays for himself. In the second segment, we're in that segment this morning, verses 6-19, Jesus prays for his immediate disciples, you know, Peter, James, and John, and those brothers. But then here's a shout. In verses 20-26, he also prayed for us. I say he also prayed, and he prays for us disciples. A disciple is a learner. Disciples are a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, a student of his. Let me give you these recap and review of what a disciple, some attributes, some characteristics of a disciple. A disciple knows who God is. You can't be a true disciple if you don't know who God is. Jesus reveals him to us. A true disciple, here it is, duh, a true disciple, they belong to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. A true disciple, they are obedient. They have a desire to live holy. They want to live like Christ. They want to keep God's word. They want to pass the obedience test. A true disciple, they are not worldly. They are not of this world. They are not fleshly. A true disciple bears fruit. As a Christian, you and I ought to be bearing fruit. If the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you, you will be bearing some fruit. A true disciple is protected. We are protected. We are kept. We are secure in the Lord. I hear one amen. That's a good place for amen. We are kept by the Lord. A true disciple, they are prayed for by Jesus. True disciples, Jesus prays for us. He prays for us. And in verse 14, we see another attribute of a true disciple. Jesus, I have given them your word. A true disciple receives the word of God. A true disciple has a heart to obey the word of God. Sure, we miss it sometimes. Sure, we sin. We get off track sometimes. But your heart, your passion, if you belong to Jesus, you have a desire to keep his word. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So true disciples love the word of God. Our Lord and Savior, our Father, Jesus, I have given them your word. And they have received the word of God. In verse 8, he says the same thing. They have embraced the word of God. Saints, if you are not excited about reading, obeying and applying the word of God. If you're not anxious and thrilled to receive God's word through, you know, a Bible study group or Sunday blast or Wednesday night or some other study, if you're not excited about receiving the word of God through the preached word or sermon, you might want to say, am I a true disciple? Listen to this. A true disciple, we crave the word of God like a milk, like a baby craves milk. Peter says it this way, 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies, long for the pure milk of the word, so that by it, you may grow in respect to salvation. I'm going to tell you something, Christian. If you're not spending time in the word of God, you're going to remain a midget Christian. You're going to be like tattoo. The plane. Y'all remember that? And I went back to the 70s. you gotta spend some time in God's word. I mean, I love to hear other preachers preach. I mean, I love to go to other services. I love to get my YouTube preacher or catch somebody on TV. And I love to prepare my own sermons. I love to take Bible study classes Tuesday night. I'm getting ready to start this Bible study class on the Minor Prophets. It's offered through the Hamilton County Baptist Association. Minister Terman, he took one on Revelation through that. It's only $50. So if you're interested, call me or call the church office. It starts on Tuesday night. We need to be learning. We need to be growing. You got to grow. Listen to what the psalmist said. The psalmist said, thy word have I hidden in my heart so that I may not sin against you. See, the word will help keep you away from sin, but sin will help keep you away from the word. Jesus reiterates in this prayer. He prayed this earlier. He says to his father, he said, the disciples are not of the world. Jesus said he's not of the world, so we're not of the world. He mentions that the world hated him. Think about it. They put him on a cross. They crucified him. So if you're following Jesus, the world is not going to embrace you. You know, this world system, which is set up by the devil, set up by Satan himself, it's not going to embrace you. Just recently, this guy had been talking with a little bit about the Bible, and he was pretty receptive for a period of time. Then I didn't see him for a little while, and then I encountered him again, and I was excited. I began to talk to him about Jesus, and he got very irate. And he began to quote stuff. He said, man, I've been on the internet, and that Bible is not true. I read some stuff to say the Bible is not true. I said, how do you know what you're reading? How do you know it's true? I said, the Bible is true. And he got mad. He began to curse and use some bad language. I said, man. I mean, he was acting worldly that day. But by God's grace, I saw him a few weeks later, and he had kind of calmed down a little bit again. But saints, don't get discouraged when the world mock you by saying stuff like, you don't believe all the stuff in the Bible, do you? That book written thousands of years later ago, and it's been changed by people. I don't feel discouraged when the world mocks you. Matter of fact, John says this in 1 John 2:15. He said, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I need to read that again. I do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I heard Minister Terman pray it earlier. We're just passing through. We're graveyard travelers. 1811 Oakview, that's where I live. 1811, that's just my temporary home. I'm just passing through there for a minute. I won't even be there too long. If I miss my house note a couple of months, I won't even be there too long. But I'm just passing through on my way to heaven. I'm passing through, Pastor McDaniel, on my way to glory. So listen, the world has an interesting way of thinking, my brothers and sisters. Let me just give you a few examples of the world's way of thinking versus the word of God way of thinking, the biblical way of thinking. Let me just give you a few examples. There are a lot of them. I'll just give you a few. The world says we must watch out for number one. Watch out for myself. Well, God's word says, put others first. See the contrast? The world says, it's your life. Y'all know that song. It's your thing. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm not going to say anything else. But the world says, it's your life. But now the word of God says, your life belongs to Jesus. If you are a disciple of his, your life belongs to Jesus. The world says your possessions, you know, your house, your car, your clothes, all that stuff. The world says your possessions belong to you. But the word of God says everything belongs to God. Everything in the heavens and earth is yours, O Lord, and this is your kingdom. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and he owns the hills too. The Bible said God owns all the gold and silver, but the world said it's yours, it's yours. Watch this. The world says sexual immorality is okay. You know, men with men, women with women, premarital sex, being married but have a little something, something on the side. The world said that's okay, but God's word say flee sexual immorality. The word of God said run from it. Let me get my friend to help me out. Let me get my friend, Forrest Gump. He's from Alabama, Sister Kathy. Forrest Gump, you need to take a note out of Forrest Gump's book. You know, the girl he grew up with, you know, Forrest Gump had the little braces on his legs. And I've seen that movie about 100 times. I still laugh. And, you know, they mess with Forrest. And she say, run, Forrest, run. So Christian Finn, when sexual immorality come, when sexual temptation come, run, Christian, run. Flee sexual immorality. The world says there are many ways to God. You know, y'all have heard that. The world said there are many ways to God. But the word of God said, the word of God said, there's only one way. I said, am I in the right place? I'm in the Christian church this morning. There's only one way to God. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter said, there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which you must be saved. The only way you can get right with God is go through Jesus. It was Jesus last week. It was Jesus yesterday. It's Jesus today. And it'll be Jesus forevermore. That's what we say. We say that Jesus is the only way. The world said there are many ways. We need to pray for the world. We need to share the good news, the gospel with them. Because they die thinking there are many ways. They're going to lift up. They're going to be like a rich man. They're going to lift the rich man and Lazarus. They're going to lift up their eyes in hell. And they're going to say, I wish I would have followed what the Christian said. There's only one way. Listen, and I'm about through with this part. The world says that man evolved. You know, y'all seen the pictures. When I was a little kid, God just blocked my mind from the evolution stuff. When I was in biology, I really thought, and it is a myth, but I really thought that was just some, you know, a cartoon. I didn't think people really believe that some slime can come up out of the ocean, and then the slime turn into something else, and then turn into something else, then turn into kind of like a monkey, and then turn into a gorilla, and then a gorilla be like half man and half this, and then boom, you got a man. I was like, folks, really believe that mess? That's what the world believes. The world believes that the creation came by the Big Bang theory. Well, if it was a Big Bang, God caused a Big Bang. So the world said we evolved, but God, this is what I take. In the beginning, God. That's good enough for me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning, God took some dirt and fashioned a man by the name of Adam and blew into Adam's nostrils. Adam became a living being, a living soul. And then he caused Adam to fall asleep and took a rib out of his side and fashioned a woman by the name of Eve. I go with that. I go with what the word of God. Y'all can have that worldly mess if y'all want to. I go with what the word of God says. So Jesus says, you know, don't take him out of the world. We are in the world. We are not to be of the world. We got to be different. If you follow Jesus, if you go by the word of God, you will be different. You will be different from a lot of those who are around you. So verse 15, let me hasten on. Verse 15 says, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, dear Father, but that you should keep them from the evil one. Don't miss that. Jesus said, Father, leave them in the world, but keep them, protect them from the evil one. Protect them from the devil. Protect them from the evil one. Listen. I know you probably think that you know, the reason that the devil hasn't taken you out. I know you probably think the only reason that you haven't succumbed consistently to his schemes and lies. I know you think it's because of you. I know you think it's because you're so spiritual and you're growing. All of us should be growing. All of us should be growing. But look, if it wasn't for God on our side, if it wasn't for Jesus on our side, if it wasn't for the Holy Spirit on our side, the devil would have taken all of us out. I mean, you know, don't try to use your wisdom against the enemy. Minister Thurman prayed it earlier. You know, when you're tempted by the enemy, you got to say, it is written. You got to say, it is written. Don't try to use your little logic. I remember, I think I shared this with you all before, but it fits in good right here. I remember back in the 90s, I was kind of new in the Christian faith. And you know, when you're new, you're just gung-ho, and you think you can just tell everybody everything about Jesus. So I was traveling down on Tunnel Boulevard, and I came to the corner of Wilcox and Tunnel. And I don't know if they still do it. I don't see them there too much anymore. But those guys, those Muslim guys, Nation of Islam, they were out there with those Final Call magazines, newspapers. And so here am I, my little new Christian self. I said, I'm going to jump out here and show these boys what I know. And so I jumped out there, parked my car. I went out, and I'm just talking about using God's word, not your word. And I went out there, and I had God's word, and I shared it with this one guy, and I'll never forget it. He was a young guy, and I asked him, I said, man, how do you know all this stuff you're doing? How do you know it's pleasing to God? How do you know when you die, it's going to please God? And I'll never forget it. He gave me that deer in the headlights look. He was basically like saying, I don't know. And so I was like, oh, I got him. I'm getting him, Brother Greg, Deacon Beasley. Then all of a sudden, two or three of his little buddies came. And they surrounded me and started talking all this. They had me so confused. They had me so messed up. I hurried up and got to my car. I learned something that day. Don't pray and make sure you know God's word a little better before you're trying to go out and attack the devil and his little cronies. I learned that day. I went back home and started studying some more. To make it so bad, one of my buddies who was kind of discipling me, he saw me. He just passed on by. I was like, man, why you pass by? I need some help over here. But Jesus prays, Father, keep them from the evil one. Keep them from the devil. I mean, he hates us. Jesus said the devil, he's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Saints, listen to this. If we didn't have the power of the Holy Spirit, if we didn't have the word of God, if we didn't have Jesus on our side, all of us would get taken out. All of us would be messed up. I mean, the devil, he was so slick. He got a third, Mother Moore, he got a third of what I call the foolish angels. They tried to overthrow God. I mean, how foolish can you be? And he persuaded them, and they got kicked out of heaven, and they're demons now. So you know if he can influence them without the help and protection of God, he would definitely influence you and me. So God, listen to this. God not only saved us, but he also keeps us. Oh, y'all not hearing me. He not only saved us, but he also keeps us. He protects us. If he didn't, we'd be doing all kind of crazy, sinful stuff. God keeps us. He protects us. The Bible says he's not going to even allow any temptation to come upon us. But those things that come upon us is faithful, is similar to man, and he would give us the way out always. God is faithful. He's going to always give you the way out. You may not take the way out, but he's going to always give you the way out. Verse 16 and 17, as I hasten on, verse 16, Jesus says again, reiterates, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. See, saints, we got to be like Jesus. He's not of the world. We are not to be of the world. Don't just blend in. Some of us are like chameleons. We just, whoever we hang around, that's who we blend in with. No, we got to be salt and light. We got to be different. Not thinking we above or better than, but we follow what Jesus says. Then Jesus said, listen, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify them. Set them apart. Let me give you an example of sanctification. Let me give you a quick example of sanctification. Here it is. Hope it stick with you. Sanctification. Just set apart. I just sanctified that chair. I just set it apart. I'm going to use it however I want to use it. If I want to sit down in it, I can sit down in it. If I want to take it back there to the back of the sanctuary, I can do that. I've sanctified. I've set that chair apart. Well, that's what God does with us. I said, that's what Jesus does with us. He sets us apart unto himself. He sets us apart unto holiness. He sets us apart to be different from everybody, all the world around us. He sanctifies us. He sets us apart. We're sanctified by Christ. We're set apart by Jesus. He sets us apart. Listen to the early disciples in the early books, early chapters of Acts. They were so set apart that people would see them. They said, there they are. There they go. Those men who are turning the world upside down. Now, you can't just blend in with the world and turn the world, allow God to use you to turn the world upside down. Jesus has sanctified them, set them apart unto holiness. If you belong to Jesus, if you're born again, if you're saved, you've been set apart. You've been, in a very real sense, picked out to be picked on. We're not a friend of the world. We pray for those that are lost. We pray for those who live worldly. We all got them in our families. We got them in our neighborhoods. We got them on our jobs. We need to pray for them. We're not going to be like them. We need to pray for them, right? I said we need to pray for them, right? The Lord told us to go share the good news. So don't avoid them. Don't go around them. I mean, go to them. Show them the love of God. Show them the love of Christ. Share the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Be like Paul in Romans 1:16. He said, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew and also for the Gentile." So you and I are called. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's what verse 18 says. Jesus says, praying to his Father, praying for Peter and James and John, those disciples, and also us secondarily, verse 20 through 26, he really hammers on us. But verse 18, listen to what he said. "Father, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world." He said, "Father, just like you sent me into the world." And when Jesus came, he came to seek, listen to this rescue mission. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Wait a minute. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. Let me say it one more time. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. I don't know about you. Well, yeah, I do know about you. You were lost. I was lost. I'm glad Jesus came and ran me down. I'm glad he came and took me and brought me out of a dark place and put me on solid ground. He came to seek and to save those who were lost. He even said this himself. He said, "I didn't come into the world to be served, but I came to serve others." So you and I, Jesus said, "Father, send them into the world just like you sent me into the world." So saints, we need to go and tell others. We need to go serve others. We need to go and do what Jesus did. You know, Jesus was here. He did miraculous things. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He cleansed the lepers. He even rose people from the dead. So as you and I go, I'll ask Jesus, give us the power to do whatever you call us to do. Because see, we have been commissioned. If you're sanctified, if you're a disciple, if you've been set apart, you and I have been commissioned. You know, when you commission an army soldier, you know, you kind of set him apart and told him to go serve wherever, Iraq or California, wherever you see. He's been commissioned. So you and I as Christians, we've been commissioned as well. Matter of fact, we've been given the Great Commission, Sister Michelle. We have the Great Commission. We're told to go and make disciples of all the nations. You and I, we're told to do that. Love Fellowship, we're told to do that. Other churches, we're told to go and make disciples of all the nations. Not just black folks, not just white folks, not just Hispanics, but all the nations. Jesus says also that we are his witnesses. Can I get a witness? We're his witnesses. We are to be his witnesses to the whole world. Wherever you go, saints, wherever you go, you are a witness for Christ. You ought to testify and tell people what the Lord has done in your life. You know, somebody might say, "Well, I don't really know how to, you know, share the gospel, share my faith." Well, at the very minimum, you ought to be able to tell people how God has changed your life. You ought to tell people how you were walking away from the Lord and he got you and turned you back around and now you're following the Lord. You ought to be able to tell them, I'm no longer, matter of fact, I'm a new creature in Christ. Old things have passed away. New things have come. And if you're around some people you've been knowing for a while, you might say, "You remember that old stuff, don't you?" Well, that stuff is gone. And new things have come. Just yesterday, you know, when I was in college, I pledged a fraternity. And just yesterday, some of my frat brothers had UTC's homecoming. So you know, they be inviting you to stuff. And, you know, they had something going on Friday night. And I was like, "I think I passed on that one, brother. I passed on the Friday night function." But I caught them yesterday morning. You know, they had breakfast downtown. And it was pretty good to see some guys I hadn't seen in a while. A lot of them went to UTC. Some of them went to other places. And it was just good. And it's amazing how God has done a miraculous work in some of their lives and in my life. And so you know, but then it's some. I say it's some. You know, it's always some in the crowd. One guy, I felt like that, "Man, you're not still in college anymore. You ought to sit your old self down. You need to let all that stuff go." Trying to step, but dude. Let that stuff go. Grow up. But you can tell people that you tracked with in the past, or maybe did some things you shouldn't have been doing. You said, "Lord, God has delivered me." And one of my best friends, he lives in Atlanta. He's a minister. He's an elder at a church down in Atlanta. Just one of my bane buddies. We both said, "God can do some miraculous stuff." I said, "God can do some miraculous stuff." Now, some of y'all got saved early. That's great. But some of y'all, you don't have to look back just too far and you know some stuff that God has brought you from. If he saved you from something. You might used to lie all the time. You might used to be full of pride. You might used to do the gin and juice and all that stuff, whatever. But God delivered you from something. I said he's delivered. And guess what? He's still delivering us from stuff. He's still delivering us from stuff. Some people need to get delivered from cussing. Y'all know some Christians still cuss. Be like, man, tame that tongue. Change that tongue. So he sent them out. And he's sending us out. Peter, he on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 souls got saved. Most of us from Sunday school, we've heard that so many times, we kind of lose the effect. But that's just like us going out on the parking lot and I preach, or Steve preach, or Brother Bray preach, and 3,000 souls get saved. Now, I don't know about you all, but I don't see that happening around here too much. But he preached and 3,000 souls got saved. So just like Jesus sent them out, beloved, he's sending us out. He's sending us out into the world. We're in the world, but not of the world. Y'all with me this morning? So these brothers were faithful, even though most of them, history and tradition tells us that most of them were martyred. Most of them died. Matter of fact, it's even said in some writings that Peter, he was going to be crucified, Brother Tommy, and he didn't want to be crucified the way Christ was. So tradition said that he was crucified upside down. But the Bible tells that John, who's writing this through the Holy Spirit, he was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. And that wasn't like Jamaica or the Bahamas either. That was a rough island. He was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. But they were faithful to the Lord. Are you faithful to the Lord this morning? They were faithful to the Lord. And look, they were talking about the same Jesus that we talk about. And just like Jesus prayed for them, guess what? Jesus is praying for us this morning. If Jesus, or since Jesus is praying for us, you and I can make it. We can overcome those things that so easily trip us up because Jesus, Brother Jim, is praying for us. Verse 19, I'm almost through. Then he says, and for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. Now, when Jesus says, he's the one who sanctifies us, when he says, I sanctify myself, he's looking toward the cross. He's talking about his death on the cross. He said, I've sanctified myself. I've set myself apart to go to the cross. Matter of fact, he came to die. He was born into this world to be our sacrifice. He died for, he said, I sanctify myself. So he's looking ahead to the cross. So he's praying this on that Thursday night before he went to the cross that Friday. That very next day, he was crucified. See, only because Jesus was set apart, only because Jesus was crucified could the disciples be set apart. Only because Jesus was sanctified, only because Jesus was set apart, only because Jesus died on the cross, only then can you and I be sanctified. If Christ hadn't gone to the cross, guess what? All of us would be just messed up. Matter of fact, if he didn't go to the cross and was resurrected, Paul said it this way. He said, we would all be a people most miserable. Think about it, saints. Just think about it for a moment. If it did happen, but if Christ didn't go to the cross, if he wasn't resurrected, we'd just be wasting our time this morning. We might as well go down to the Kiwanis Club or to the Civics Club or the Fraternity Sorority or something. But now, because Christ has arisen, because Christ did go to the cross, because he is our Lord and Savior, because he is our high priest, we can rejoice this morning. I said we can rejoice. He can help you deal with that tough coworker you're going to deal with tomorrow. He can help you get through whatever life is bringing on you. He can help you get through. Check this out. We are guarded by the Father. He keeps us, right? Y'all with me? We're guarded by the Father. We are prayed for by Jesus. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let me say that again. We are kept and protected by the Father. We're prayed for by Jesus, and we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Matter of fact, the Lord said he's given us all things pertaining to life and godliness. You got all the equipment you need. If you're in Jesus, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you got everything that you need. I said, you got everything you need. You got the Word of God. You got the Spirit of God. You got the Son of God. You got all that you need. I like what one of my favorite writers said, when the child of God looks into the Word of God and sees the Son of God, he is changed by the Spirit of God into the image of God for the glory of God. God has given us all we need. Jesus sanctifies us. And we know that his grace is sufficient. We know that his love is everlasting. We know that his power is unlimited. We know that his wisdom is perfect. His name is great. His mercies are new and his strength is perfected. Let me say that one more time. His grace is sufficient. His love is everlasting. His power is unlimited. His wisdom is perfect. His name is great. His mercies are new and his strength is perfected. Oh, I gotta say that one more time. His grace is sufficient. His love is everlasting. His power is unlimited. His wisdom is perfect. His name is great. His mercies are new. His strength is perfected. I'm gonna say it one more time, just for myself. His grace is sufficient. His love is everlasting. His power is unlimited. His wisdom is perfect. His name is great. His mercies are new. His strength is perfected. Jesus sanctifies us. He sets us apart. He sets us apart unto himself. He sets us apart unto holiness. He's called us. And watch this. God, Jesus, would never call us to something that we can't do through his power. He would never call us to an assignment that he hasn't given us all the resources to do it. If God calls you to it, he can take you through it. If he gives you a vision, he can give you provision. Everything that we need is in Christ. I said, everything that we need is in Christ. And he prays for us. This is an awesome prayer, John 17. And look, this wasn't just what he prayed 2,000 years ago, although he did. He still prays for us every day. He prays for us every single day. Sister Geraldine, he prays for us. He prays for us. So let us pray. Father, we do thank you this day for sending your son, Jesus, Jesus.